we don't want to hide anything from you or
Drew, is this good? No. Do I need to do something else? Testing 1, 2. All right. Now you get to see how sound check works. Do I need now until they get the other part figured out. Amen. Yes, well, what a joy to be back here at Calvary Chapel. I was trying to calculate how many years ago these meetings were. Tom thought maybe 5. And so if Tom says it, we'll believe it. No, I think it was around there, but that's not that important. But it's such a joy and an honor to be here with you. We are looking forward to the week, and of course Sheldon and Ellen, we've serve on our executive board. It's very special to have them on our board. They've been such a blessing. I think the last time we were here, Chad was on the board, and since then we have recruited his dad, and so what a blessing. And it's interesting to see the write-up about Chad's and some of the things that they're praying about and all of that. So God bless you, and we look forward to worshiping the Lord together here this week. I'll share a little bit more about the family, maybe more of a formal introduction tonight. Thank you for just allowing us. I know we got here late last night, and so I told Dana if we could just do the message this morning, then we'll set up this afternoon and do more of a fuller program tonight. But I thank God for my family, and that they are all with us here this week, and we're grateful for that. It's very unusual this morning for me to share this. As I was praying into the week and just saying, Lord, you know, I don't take weeks like this lightly at all. I know we do this a lot. But I don't come into a week like this saying, well, because this worked over there, let's just do the same thing here. But Lord, may it be a fresh revelation. May it be, I say, Lord, give me the first message or two and help me discern. In fact, that is the greater labor for me in a week like this. It's not so much delivering the message as it is to discern and hear from God what it's supposed to be. You know what we're talking about, I believe, those who labor in the Word. It's very unusual for me this morning to start with this. I don't know that I've ever done this in a week of meetings. I think at a youth camp one time I may have started with this, but it was a whole different age group and different scenario and setting. And I really felt the Lord leading me to do this. this morning, just to some of you I know better than others, but it never ceases to amaze me how that the message of the gospel never wears out. It never gets old. It has changed the hearts of men and women, boys and girls all over the world hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And it is as effective today as it ever was. And I am so grateful for that. And so I would like to share with you my own spiritual pilgrimage and journey and to get to know each other so that it helps us to understand where we're coming from. And you know, for some of you I've known for quite some time. You've maybe been in our services. For others, you're like, I wonder what this person is like. I wonder what his style is like. I wonder how does he present the message, and what is his family like. And so we'd like to get acquainted a bit so that it helps me to understand and helps you, I believe, to understand, to connect in where we're coming from, because we all have a journey. We all have a testimony. And so that's what I would like to share this morning. My own personal spiritual pilgrimage, testimony, whatever we want to call it, so that we understand where I came from. And it's not so important where we came from, it's where we're going. We know that, but it helps us to understand, I believe, a little better of where we're coming from. I would like to also, I was debating if I want to do this morning or tonight. I will do it this morning. Before we really get into the message part, is this coming through now? Still not? Okay. Boy, it really echoes in here. It's that's good. So if I step away, it's not like you can't hear me, right? Okay, good. But if I may share this concerning, you know, when you look at revival meetings, you look at renewal meetings, some people call it different, use different terminologies. But in any case, different speakers may do it different ways, but something that will perhaps happen each service, each night, and often happens when you have revival meetings, maybe when you have somebody that does more like a teacher or a certain topic or subject or zero in on a certain thing, this may not happen as much. But in revival meetings, often something that happens at the end of each service is what is called an invitation, an altar call. I want to share with you just where I'm at with altar calls, because I don't like to beat around the bush and like, okay, where is this guy going with it? I like to just be straightforward, very open, so that there's no questions what we're doing. Many years ago, back when I first started preaching, the late 90s, early 2000s, when it came to an invitation, there were things that God had not done in my heart yet that He wanted to do, but I wasn't willing to let Him do it. And so therefore, the invitations and the altar calls were what I look back at were done in a way that I don't believe pleased the Lord. And it had to do with me because of the way I conducted altar calls. One day, I was praying about this, and I would usually like going into an invitation and asking, opening the altar. And, you know, deep down within, there was almost like a fear of what if nobody responds? You know, that whole thing. So I was saying, well, so what? But yet within my heart there was a fear of, well, what if nobody responds? It doesn't make the preacher look very good. One day in that process, I was sitting at a school of evangelism out in San Diego, California. Franklin Graham was the workshop teacher. His lecture was, and it was a whole room full of evangelists, and his title was Preaching the Message and Giving the Invitation. I was all ears. And in the early stages of his lecture, he said, may I encourage all of you evangelists, he said this, and I don't have it verbatim, but the idea is that one of the reasons many evangelists fear giving an invitation is what I just told you, and that is fear that nobody will respond. And I said, I want to encourage you to overcome that today. And of course, my ears really perked up. And he went on to explain why. And the first thing he said is, I want to remind all of you in that room that day, I want to remind all of you, first of all, reminds you that it is not your invitation. Now, I knew that. I knew it. But in my heart, I had not released it as not my invitation. And when he said that, I was like, you know, in my heart, I was like, okay, go on, explain it and all of that. I want to remind you, it is not your invitation. And so that means that you are completely released from the invitation. It's all about the people of God hearing the voice of God and listening to the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Or the unsaved people. And I remember sitting there, and it was one of those moments that was, I call it a bow and arrow moment. Where it's like a bow was pulled and the arrow was released and the Holy Spirit was like, that day ouch fit better than amen, if that makes any sense. And I saw it right in front of me. I said, Lord, that's me. I have not released this invitation, because what I was doing in preaching and giving the invitation is using persuasive words and persuasive things just to try to get people to come forward, or else it wouldn't make me look good. Very carnal. I saw it that day. Wasn't aware of it, but that day God used that to speak to my heart. And I remember repenting and saying, Lord, I repent. I see it. I repent. No more of this, Lord. It's not my invitation. I'm only giving the time and the opportunity. It's not my invitation. And that day, God completely set me free from any fear. Today, these years later, I say it to the glory of God. When the altar is open and the invitation is given, in my heart, there is absolutely no fear. There is no fear whether one person comes, whether no person comes, or whether 20 people come. Because it's not about me, it's about us listening to the voice of God. Only do I want people to come to the altar if they hear and sense the voice of God asking them to do so. So night after night, if I know that I have preached the Word of God, that which God has laid on my heart, I know I have obeyed Him, I can go out of this room. Whether nobody comes forward or whether 20 people come forward or 2 or 10 or whatever, rejoicing in my heart, knowing it's the work of the Spirit. Tremendous freedom God gave me. And I walk in that to the glory of God. Walk in that. All of us have had different experiences growing up when it comes to invitations. Mine was, I remember one of the first times I was at a service where an invitation was given before I was saved. And I remember sitting there, it was a Sunday morning, this preacher, I don't remember one thing he preached about. I don't remember anything he preached, content of message, nothing. I just remember he had the people stand at the end of the service, and my heart was like up here, like you thought your shirt was jumping out. I was under such conviction, it was like right up here. I sat about 3 miles, I know it was my girlfriend and I, we weren't married yet. We sat there, we stood, and the moment I stood up, I mean, I was under such conviction. I mean, I grabbed the bench in front of me like this. My girlfriend wanted to step out. I'm really embarrassed to say this. And I was so hard. My heart was so hard. I would not let her on. I was like, you don't do that. My hands were grasped with that bench in front of me, and my favorite song that morning was, I Shall Not Be Moved. I mean, think not a contest. You got something for me there? All right. So we're going to switch the belt back. Is that what we're going to try to do? All right. Bear with us here. You know, these sounds. Say, but I found out later it's just the opposite. It's humility. It's okay. The altar is a friendly place. That was my experience. You've had yours. Others have had it. I remember a young married lady, a week of meetings, another state, and I remember going through on a Sunday morning, we opened it up for testimonies. And we're there all week in a community building. Sunday mornings we went to one of the local churches and opened up for testimonies. And this young married lady, who is now a pastor's wife actually these years later, but she gets up and she has the songbook, the hymnal. I don't know if it was this one, but it was one of the ones that are common for us. And she opened the songbook and she turned to the song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea." And her testimony was this. I was like, I wonder where she's going with this, because apparently throughout the week, I honestly don't remember for sure, but apparently on numerous occasions throughout that week, that song was sung during the invitation. It's an appropriate song to sing at an invitation. We may do that. We may do music. We may do sounds. You never, Lord, show us. And she opens the songbook. Now, that song, "Just As I Am Without One Plea," we know verse 1 by heart. We know verse 2 by heart. Verse 3, pretty good. Verse 4, we would stumble through, or we would need a book to sing it. Verse 5, for sure. If I'm not mistaken, whichever songbook that song is in, there is at least 5, if not 6, verses to that entire song. Her testimony was this. The first time, that Sunday morning, Here was her testimony. Whereas she was going through this week, and the first time in her life that she heard that song sung, and she didn't feel condemnation. That was her testimony. And I was sitting there like, really? Now, I didn't say that to her, but in my heart I was like, so the first time, now she was probably 30 years old, young married, and grew up in the church. And the first time that she ever heard that song, that she didn't feel condemnation. And there could have been various reasons why she felt the condemnation. It could have been the hardness of her own heart. It could have been the way that something was delivered or presented, that it was not done in grace. You know, the Holy Spirit will not condemn. Sin condemns us, but the Holy Spirit will always draw us. Yeah. The Holy Spirit will draw us. And so when it's in the Holy Spirit, you know, the sin condemns us, but the Holy Spirit wants to draw us right out of that. There's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit draws. He doesn't condemn. So when it's the work of the Spirit, there's a drawing, there's a wooing, there's a coming out of darkness, there's a coming out of bondage. Yeah, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And so there could be various reasons why she felt the condemnation. But as a public declaration and into the spirit world, she opens the book and she sang beautifully by herself in front of her congregation all the verses. As a public declaration, no more condemnation when I hear that song. That was her experience. Another man, and I'll need to move on. In the Midwest, after a week of meetings, opened up Sunday morning for testimonies. And here he was, 60-some years old. And his testimony was this. First time I ever sat through a series of meetings that I could freely walk to an altar without worrying, what are other people going to think of me? That was his testimony, his experience. I've had mine, you have yours, we've all had them. I'm here to say this. The altar is a friendly place, not a place to be scared of. It's a very friendly place. Only do I ask people to come to the altar if you sense the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, He's drawing you, and you say, you know what, God is asking me to take that step. It's that simple. And so the reason it's freeing to me is, if we choose not to obey that, you're not disobeying me, you're disobeying God. So it's between, and so am I. If God asks me to go to the altar and I don't do that, I'm disobeying God, not you. And so it's the work of the Holy Spirit. And you will hear that throughout the week. Last but not least, I want to encourage us young families, young children, never underestimate what a young child can understand in meetings like this. Wonderful, wonderful things have happened over the years of fathers leading their children to Jesus Christ, walking with them to the altar, or testimonies where the next night they would come back and say, last night my child came to the bedroom and was under conviction and I had the privilege of leading them to the Lord. I won't forget evening number 19, tent meetings 10, 11 years ago in a community. Evening number 19, I remember, I'll never forget this, where a father and his 16-year-old daughter, remember being down behind the podium just praying. I usually don't watch what's happening here, and praying during the invitation. And I remember just as I was getting up from praying and looking out, seeing what's happening, I just remember this father coming down the center aisle and his daughter in his side, 15 or 16-year-old daughter. She was so broken. The Holy Spirit had so broken her heart that night, she literally almost couldn't walk. Her father was literally almost carrying her up to the altar. That night, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. All those evening number 19, the Holy Spirit was working on her night after night after night after night. I thank God. I thank God. Apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in these meetings, we might as well wrap it up. We might as well wrap it up. Yeah. But God is faithful, and He's asking us to be that as well. I wanted to share that just as an introduction, and so that we're on the same page when it comes to invitations. I want to take a moment. Psalm 40, go there if you will, and just share a bit of our spiritual pilgrimage this morning. And I know I often weave it in throughout a week, but this morning I want to just be a little bit more specific. But this is really, in a nutshell, my testimony, my wife's testimony, as we gave our life to the Lord. I waited patiently, the psalmist said, Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my foot upon a rock. He established my goings. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. But verse 2 is really my testimony. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my foot upon a rock, and established my going. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And then a few verses later, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. That's my testimony. Being changed from a life of darkness. And I want to say this in the onset. You know, many of you, like my children now, you know, they grew up hearing the gospel. They grew up knowing what salvation is and being exposed to the gospel message and how that one can be saved and know that they're saved. They grew up with that. So their testimony is even different than what ours is. But no matter how good we were, we needed to be saved. Yeah. We needed to get saved. No matter how good we were or how good we are, we needed a Savior. You don't need a testimony like mine. I don't need a testimony like yours or anybody else's. God has given us a testimony. And it's much deeper than the guy who was sitting in a tent one night and had everything written out. He was asked to share his testimony and the wind came and blew his papers away. And he gets up and he says, well, my testimony just blew away. See, no, a testimony coming from darkness to light, it's in the heart, it's not on paper. Yeah, it's in the heart, it's not on paper. I grew up as a little, an Amish family. I love my heritage deeply. Holmes County, Ohio, in case you haven't picked up the accent yet. It's not like it used to be. When I first started preaching, it was a lot of this and that and those and over there. Or like one young man at tent meetings one day. I don't say this against him. It was just really funny. But he had never spoken into a microphone before. Got newly converted, not at the tent meetings, but another time, but recently converted. And he gets up. He was all nervous behind the microphone. I mean, he was just fidgeting, you know, and he was like this. And then he goes, he says, yes, since I found Jesus, I could just chum for joy. Anyway, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know, and so I grew up. So God has helped me to over, because I'm not embarrassed of the accent. It's just I don't want it to be a distraction, right? And so God has helped me. And some of you are sitting there saying, boy, he needs a lot more help, but we'll just leave that. But I grew up, you know, my father, one of the godliest men I ever knew. He was an Old Order Amish deacon. He passed away almost 10 years ago, a week before Christmas in 2007. So it was almost 10 years, and just miss him dearly. He was a deacon for 46 years prior to his passing. There was only two other men in the Old Order Amish circles, I was told at the funeral, that were ordained longer than what he was. And a very respected man, peacemaker. I don't know if you know how the Old Order, and they may not do it like this here, but in Holmes County, they get the job. This is part of their job description, not the only job description, but part of it is when somebody is not in line, the bishop sends the deacon to go confront him. That's part of the role of the deacon. Now, my dad was the perfect man for that, but it was sure hard for him to do it because he was a peacemaker. But I never went with him because I was not a member of the church. And when he'd hitch up the buggy and go somewhere and wouldn't tell me where he's going, I knew what he was up to. I just didn't know where. And for the sake of protection of who he was going to go see, he didn't want to tell me. And I respect that. I respect that deeply. But I can only imagine his approach would have only been very peaceful, very meek, very humble. He was the right man to do it. And one of the kindest men I ever knew. Had a wonderful, wonderful home life. Was never dealt with abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, verbal abuse, never. Never dealt with any of those things. A lot of people in our circles cannot say that. A lot of people have a lot of abuse and hurt and physical abuse, sexual abuse. A lot of our people have that. I never had that. I thank God for that. Just a few days ago, stopped in to see my almost 87-year-old mother. Loves Jesus. And sits there and he's just waiting. She's just waiting to go home. She's like, you know, I'm just, my work here is finished. I'm just waiting to go home to meet Jesus. She just can't wait. And, you know, to be able to put my arm around her and pray over her. She's there with tears in her eyes. I don't take that for granted. Special people. Special people. And then to hear those words, I told her, I love you, Mom. And to hear those same words back, I love you too. Special. Special. But just because I grew up in a good home didn't make me good. At the age of 13, 14 years old, I was exposed to drugs and alcohol and chose to take that route, chose to give in, not right at that moment regularly, but a year or two later. Being exposed to drugs and alcohol and going down, I was, in my heart, was such a hard young man, and just waiting for that moment where I would turn 16 years old, where I would be able to go with the party. And I don't know if some of you understand some of the imagine with some of the background and the party life, and we call it the Rumspringa. How many of you understood that? Okay. Rumspringdoa. My children, they don't speak Dutch very well, but they know that phrase. Because sometimes, you know, we're very open with our children. It's amazing to me how that, you know, we try to teach our children what we shouldn't have. Like we try to tell them, don't do what we did, but try to teach them what we didn't do, right? And so, but as we share some of our past and why we wouldn't want to go down that road and the wasted life, and toward the end I'll share more about just how God doesn't hold our past against us. But as I got exposed to that for about 7 or 8 years, just lived a very rebellious life and would go out into parties and rock concerts and all these ungodly things that would go along with it, and would be drinking. In fact, these places where you couldn't even, you could not hardly have a normal mind and be there. It makes me shiver when I think of those times, because now that God has so far removed me from it, and I am so grateful that when God saves us, and I'm running ahead a little bit, but When God saves us, not only does He forgive our sins, but He removes some of those thoughts and just erases them. Yes! Yeah! Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. As I would go to those rock concerts and the ungodly things of the world and not even being able to hardly be in your right mind. Sometimes twice a week, once a week, twice a week. And you would live for those moments and you would then party and get drunk and get drugged up and to the point where you would, I was dealing in drugs and just one thing, you know, just led to another thing and then driving around the streets of Holmes County with these drugs in the trunk and meeting people and selling them, making just all those things. I should have been incarcerated. Yeah, should have been. Should have been, but wasn't. Only for 48 hours one time. Sat in front of a window 2 days ago at a jail in Ohio. Talking to a friend of mine through a phone. He was on the other side. But by the grace of God, there would I be. But for the grace of God, there would I be. I met my girlfriend during ball games that her brother, I was playing on her brother's ball team. And she would come along to watch her brother play ball, right? Read between the lines. But I just happened to be on the ball team, right? That's kind of how we met. We had seen each other some time before that, but that's kind of how we started getting connected. And we were both fairly young that time. I started a relationship soon after that, and we're in a relationship for 4 years, dated for 4 years. And that's one of the scenarios we tell our children that's probably not a good way to do it. We dated for 4 years as non-Christians. We started talking about marriage. What does that look like? What is that like? But we knew that we were not in any way, shape or form fit to get married. And then we started talking about, okay, now, what church? We talked about denominations. Because I had not understood salvation. I did not understand at that point that you can give your life to Christ and that that is separate from joining a church. Even though church membership is important, baptism is important, all of that. Not downplaying that, but I did not understand that a person gets saved and then those other things are to follow. I had it reversed. I was focusing on the other part. And so we started visiting different churches, and that's then when that thing happened I described to you at the altar call. Visiting a church there in Holmes County, and of course there you have a smorgasbord of options. And remember visiting there, and we had visited some other churches, and but that morning, as you know, that was a seed that was sown. That was a stepping stone for me, even though I didn't respond and give my life to Christ that morning. But it was a seed. It was a stepping stone. And then we started visiting, a few different churches, anything from Beachy Church to churches like this and a few others. And of course, we weren't quite on the same page, Ruth Ann and I weren't, and what we felt was right for a church and to raise a family. But neither one of us were saved. One day, we visited this one church. After the service, the pastor, it was a small church of 100 people or so at the time, not very many people coming and going, just kind of their own little group. After the service, the pastor caught us out in the foyer, And he started talking to us. Here was this young Amish couple, you know, and started talking to us. He asked us this question. Have you ever made a commitment to the Lord? That was the question. I kind of looked at her and she kind of looked at me, and immediately my mind was like, well, I'm not a church member and I'm not baptized. So I guess based on that, no, I never have made a commitment to the Lord. She knew right away that she hadn't, because she had been exposed to salvation through the mailbox club thing and had understood the plan of salvation much better than I had, even though she hadn't made it personal yet. But she understood it better. So we chatted a while. He said, can we go down to the basement? So we went down to the basement of the church. Now, he was not only had the title of a pastor, but he has a pastor's heart. I mean, he was very caring, very non-confrontational, and very, very easy to, like, he did it very humbly. And so all he did that day is he took us to Romans chapter 10, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, Romans 10, Romans 6, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And if you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, I'm getting Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. And 1 John 5:13, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. He was showing us these scriptures. I was like, so it's really that, is it that simple? And it was like, yeah, it is. But it hadn't soaked in yet. I couldn't quite grasp the fact that right at that moment I could actually pray and give my life to Christ right there. I didn't understand it, and I didn't. Because I didn't understand it. The Holy Spirit had not yet drawn me, because He was taking me. That was a stepping stone. That was on a Sunday morning later that week. I don't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday. One of those evenings, I was at home. I was processing this and I was thinking about this. I said, Lord, what is this like? You mean I could actually just right here give my life to Christ? I had my Bible open. And I was sitting there in my room, reading the Word. Now, all of us probably have had a different experience when we came to Christ. And it's not that one is right and one is wrong. It matters that it happens. But that night, I don't remember all the details that I prayed. And God knew what I needed. But that night, somehow the heavens opened. There was a drawing of His Spirit that night that came into that room that I will never forget. I don't understand the whole thing. I didn't understand it all at that time. But I know that that night, the presence of God came into that room right where I was sitting and drew me right into the kingdom of God. As I, in my heart, honestly, I don't remember all the words I said. I don't remember all the words I prayed. I don't believe that's as important as the attitude of the heart. The attitude, my heart attitude that night was, Lord, I am in Your hands now. I am surrendering completely to You. My life is in Your hands. I didn't know what all that meant. And I never dreamed. That was May of 1991. 26 years ago, just a little over 26 years ago. I went to bed later that night. I wasn't sure quite what happened. I remember getting up the next morning. It was just new. Like, it was just different. Even though I went to the same job, drove the same vehicle. And then a night or two later, I went to Ruth Ann's place to pick her up. We were going to go out Friday or Saturday night. I picked her up. And I start telling her about what happened. She looks at me and she says, well, the same thing happened to me. Same thing happened to her that same week. And we didn't know it till we got together. We were like looking at each other like, what does this mean? What is it? How is it now? We went out and we talked about it from that day forth. There was no more bed courtship. There was no more, instead of me staying there, and I'll just be honest, instead of me staying there, we would now pray together. Now, I did not know how to pray. Because all my life, I'm not saying this against my culture or back, that is so not my heart. The only way I knew how to pray is out of a book. That's the only way I knew how. I did not know that you can just pray and just open your mouth and talk to God. I didn't understand it. I didn't know it. But we began to pray together. We were just like, so we just stop and we just talk to the Lord. Like, just open our mouth and talk to the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. That's what happened. Gave us tremendous strength to remain pure before Him and with each other. And I thank God. God gave us the privilege for 1 year of courtship as Christians. And I say this to the glory of God. The day of our wedding, almost a year later, actually it was just a little over a year later, the day of our wedding, both of us felt as clean, pure, as only God could make us. As only God could make us. Our journey began together as a young married couple. And even within a month or so after we were saved, we began to talk about this new life. What does it mean? We soon knew that God would not just have us fill a church pew or whatever you want to call it. God had already spoken to my heart. I didn't know what it was going to look like. The only understanding I had at that point of mission work is that all older single people go to China. That was pretty much my understanding of mission work. And I thought, well, I'm not single and I'm not old, so I guess that rules me out. So what now, Lord? And then about 3 months after I got married, there were two pastors that were very influential in my life. They had an invitation to come over to Kenya, Africa. Bishop Henry Mulundi. Has he been through here? Henry Mulundi, does that ring a bell? Maybe some of you? Yeah. Incredible man of God. He invited two pastors over there to do open-air meetings and seminars. One of those pastors came to me and said, "Brother, I sense God is asking me to ask you to come along. Would you could pray about this?" Now, that was about a year and 3 months after I was saved and 3 months after I was married till we actually went. So when they asked, it was even earlier. And I was like, wow, I had never even... I'd flown an airplane one time, and pretty much the extent of my travels was, we lived in Ohio, I would have been to West Virginia and Indiana, which is neighboring states. That was about the extent of my travels. Now, I didn't comprehend how far away Africa is, I just knew it was a long way. Long story short, God worked it out. Went there with these two pastors, ex-Amish, newly converted, just married. My eyes were opened so far, I couldn't hardly, it was almost like, you know. But that time, the three of us, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we went to visit another missionary group about 3 hours away from where we were staying. Friday evening, we came back to Bishop Mulundi's house. He said, "Welcome back." He said, "Okay, on Sunday, we have three services." He looked at one of my pastor friends. He said, "You're preaching the early morning service, 7 o'clock. And the other one, you're preaching the 11 o'clock service. And Dave, you're preaching the evening service." Now, I about went through the floor. Because I don't think I even ever had devotions, anything like yet. And I was as nervous as could be. But without giving you all the details, God helped me that night. I remember going to Romans chapter 8 and then sharing some of my own testimony through an interpreter. Never dreamed what that would do in my heart. We came back and Bishop Mulundi had, she said, "You go home and you get your wife, we will put you to work." Never sensed the release to do so. But God has opened that door. Now these years later, been back there preaching in those open air meetings for probably a dozen times or more with that group. And how God opened that door. But it was those stepping stones that God used to teach me about life and to teach me about ministry. And I sensed a calling to preach. I just didn't know how it was going to work out, you know. And then we were in Arizona. In fact, yeah, the Geiglies, and we were there for about 8 months and came back in spring of 1995. There was an ordination and at our home church, and I was one in the lot. I was in the fall of 95, 20 some years ago, and I was in the lot, and three of us, and the brother who was chosen that night, expected it the least. Now, can I be honest enough with you that I wrestled with the Lord for 2 weeks on that. I said, Lord, you put this calling on my heart. Why would you not? Why would that person that didn't? He had sensed the call earlier and wasn't ordained. And I know that may almost sound strange for some, but I had such a calling to ministry. I didn't understand it all. I didn't understand the difference between a pastor and an evangelist. I didn't understand it. I just knew I had a calling to preach and wasn't chosen that night. I mean, 2 weeks, finally, one day I just came before the Lord. I said, Lord, it's okay. Just help me. I know you have a calling on my life. Help me to be faithful no matter where, no matter what. Just help me to be faithful to you. God helped me to do that. And then it was 1998 when I got a call from Gospel Express. I said, hey, we sense God is calling you and we just would like to sit down and talk with you. So we did. Job description at that time did not match what I felt God was calling. But my wife felt very good about it. And the verse in Colossians, let the peace of God rule your heart, is what helped us make that decision, because there was nothing but peace. We stepped forward in that and then were licensed in 1999 and then in 2005 were ordained. That was all at the church there at Gospel Haven, even though we moved south in 1999. So we have our membership there. We have our membership down in North Carolina. So we're doubly covered when it comes to membership. Anyway, I'll leave that. But never did I dream that God would have us do what we're doing today. When we joined Gospel Express in 1999, we had four children. The oldest one was 6 years old, and he is now 24. And our youngest was born down there. Those early years were years of development, growth, maturing, still maturing. Some hard years, some very difficult years. But yet God has been faithful all the way through. And today there are more doors open. There are more doors open than we could ever walk through. And I know I just shared bits and pieces of it this morning. More than ever before, when I introduce our family in all these different places, not only did Jesus come into my heart that night in 1991. But He has erased our past consequences, some. But thoughts, shame, guilt, gone. Gone. And He does not hold our past against us. In fact, as we conclude, could you all come up here? This is not a formal introduction. But just to, if you don't mind, just coming up here. I do this for one reason and one reason only, is to give glory to Almighty God. That's the only reason I'm doing this. I'm not here to, lift us up in any way, shape, or form. But honestly, it breaks my heart. I just weep in the presence of God to know where I was at their age, what I was doing. I do not deserve having sons, daughters that honor me, but first of all, that honor God. I don't deserve that because that's not the way I lived. It's not the way I lived till I was 22. That's when Jesus came in. That's the grace of God, heaven's influence. Not only does He save us, but He doesn't hold our past against us. Breaks my heart. I weep in His presence to know that a choice I made and a choice that she made a year before we got married changed our life completely. And that choice was to throw our life at the feet of Jesus. To say, Lord, it's not us, but it's about You. When His Spirit moved in, then getting married and being blessed with 5 children. They're not perfect, but they love Jesus. They have all made Jesus personal in their life, given their life to Christ. They've all been baptized. And I thank God for His influence in their life. And where God has us in ministry today, I don't deserve it. So we just say, whatever good happens this week, give God glory. Whatever bad happens, talk to us about it. But I want to just in a moment, this morning, what I feel led to do, and this was confirmed to me. In fact, I'll introduce you all tonight. You can all go back. Yeah. They are such a blessing to me. They don't know for sure what comes next sometimes. But as we conclude here this morning, what I'd like to do for invitation time this morning, and I read this in Oswald Chambers this morning, which is one of my favorite devotional books. Are you willing, and I'm speaking, putting myself in here, are you willing to obey your Lord and Master, whatever the humiliation to your right to yourself may be? What I would like to do this morning, as we introduce the week, is just to give all of us an opportunity. Here's the invitation. It's very general, and it's one of the easiest invitations I've probably ever given. And that is this. The invitation is this for all of us. Lord, I want to publicly say into the spirit world that in my heart I am willing to obey Your voice, whatever You ask of me this week. That's the invitation. I am willing to obey Your voice, whatever You ask of me this week. Am I willing to do that? Can we stand together? Thank You, Jesus. No, if that music is ready to play back there, if you are, you can start that any time. But let's just come before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to You. We come to You right now. And Lord, I thank You that not only do You save us, but You keep us. And then Lord, as You have us on the journey, as You have us on this journey of life, there are things and circumstances that tend to creep in, want to distract us, but we don't even hear Your voice. And Lord, this week I believe You want us to just seek Your heart. And this morning, only if in your heart you're willing to say. If you're not willing to say it, then just stay right where you are. But if you're willing to say in your heart, Lord, I want to just come in an act of surrender to You, that no matter what You ask of me, I want to say, by Your grace, I want to say yes to You, Jesus. This week, I want to say yes to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I know I'm the first one on my knees this morning because that's what I want for my life. If that's you, you say, yes, that's in my heart. Just step out and come right up front. Can you do that this morning? The Lord is leading you to do so. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, teach us, oh God. Teach us, Father, just to obey Your voice today. Obey Your voice this week. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, God, we want to hear Your voice. We want to obey Your voice. We want to obey You. Jesus, break our hearts with what breaks your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I want to obey your voice. I want to hear your voice today. I want to hear your voice this week, Lord. I want to obey your voice, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, Father. Just right now, Lord, I pray you would just break our hearts with what breaks your heart. Lord, that every one of us would just say, oh God, here am I. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us to walk in that spirit of humility and allow the Holy Spirit to break the hardness if there's hardness. But Lord, I believe for many this week, you want to just take us just deeper with you. Maybe it's, for some, it may be some gross sin or bondage. For others, it may just be, Lord, I want your Spirit to just draw me into the deeper things of God. And then I believe also there are many who are walking there. But Lord, no matter where we find ourselves, you are faithful to meet us right where we are. Right where we are. The challenge is for us to say yes to you. Just even to say the word yes to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. So I want to speak that over this group this morning. Help us to say yes to your Spirit. Help us to say yes to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit only, not other spirits. So I speak and pray that over this group, that Lord, may we hear one voice. May we hear your voice. May we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. May we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. And may we say, yes, yes to you. Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this body and other believers who are here, perhaps from other bodies that are part of the body of Christ. So I pray today, Holy Spirit, I surrender to you, Lord, with outstretched arms and bended knees, O Father. And an open heart. Lord, I pray for a fresh anointing. I pray for a fresh revelation. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, you bring us from darkness to light. And when you bring us from darkness to light, when you save us, when you put us on a new path, that, Lord, you don't expect us just to sit back and just hold it in. Lord, like the sign I read this week, we are to keep the faith, but not from others. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, loosen us. Lord, shake us. Lord, move us in your kingdom. Lord, move us in ways that will loosen the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens. But Lord, most of all, light a fire within us. Light a fire where we cannot contain that which you're doing in our hearts. Because we've been brought from darkness to light. And not only that, but you don't hold our past against us. You put us on a new path. And then Lord, for the next generations to come, that Lord, we are to impact the world through generations and generations. For you, there's so much ungodliness that is passed through generations. But Lord, this week may we take seriously, Lord, to pass on through the next generations, the godly heritage, godly things that will impact the world. Release that in this place today. Lord, release such an anointing in this place that, Lord, we just want to bask in your presence. And we don't want to even stay away from this place because you are here. You are moving. You are ministering. Because it's about you, not about any one of us. It's about saying yes. Lord, that yes means different things for different people. For some, it's going to come very hard to say yes because of what it means and where we're walking. For others, it's going to be easier. But I pray that by Your Spirit, would give us grace to say yes. Thank You, Jesus, for hearing our prayer. Bless us, Lord. In this week, that You will be glorified. Oh, may You be exalted. Where no man, woman, boy, or girl receives any glory, but only You, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Amen.